Amen. Romans 16. Verse 21. Well, verse 20. Paul writes, God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for using us. And I thank you that we can be reminded that we have the same God that these have who we read about so often. And I thank you for this blessed book, dear God. We see that they were merely human, that there are no, there are really no great men of God, but there's a great God of men. And we see what you do in hearts and lives. And anyone that's great and in that respect is made great by you. And so, Father, it's your spirit. It's what you do through us. And we need you more and more. And we sing the song, we need thee every hour, and how true that is. And we need you tonight, Father. I need your spirit and your filling to minister to the church tonight. And I thank you for each one here. And I'd ask you to fill me and use me and help me to glorify your name, edify your church. Pray for my dear wife tonight. Fill her with your spirit. Help her teaching the deaf. And that they would be edified in there as well. Brother Brian in the nursery, and bless them there with Julia, and bless that time together. And Father, might we just go away with something from your word. Give us something by your spirit, and might we be drawn closer to you here in the midst of the week. If you tarry, we'd be witnesses for you as we go back out into our individual mission fields. And so, Father, we pray. We do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul gives us some more names. We spent quite a bit of time last week looking at Timothy and his faithful service. And what a challenge that young man was, just gave his life and was faithful and working there in a great way. Saw that as we traced that through the scripture last week. Timothy, my workfellow, verse 21. And Lucius, he says, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. So we know that those three, and of course, Timothy, are Jews. And at least Timothy's mother was a Jew, his father was a Greek, but Timothy was likely a Jew by faith. So we know that these other three are Jews because Paul calls them my kinsmen. We do see Lucius in another place in Acts chapter 13, very early on, the beginning of the start of the church in Antioch, that was just north of Jerusalem, Antioch in Syria. And there, when the apostle Paul and Barnabas were going to be sent out as missionaries in Acts 13:1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene. Maybe it's the same Lucius there. We don't know any more about that, but it very well could be, and that he was one of those teachers in that Antioch, in the Antioch church. He mentions Jason, also a kinsman, a fellow Jew. And Jason may have been Paul's host when he went to Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. If you look in Acts chapter 17, we have the Apostle Paul and Silas going to Thessalonica. They were persecuted in Philippi, and then were released from prison and went to minister in Thessalonica. And he went into the synagogue there, and in Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, they followed them around everywhere. Moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted what? The house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received." So he received them, he kept them in the house. And they went on to say, "These all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people, Acts 17:8, and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. They came perhaps to the house looking for Paul and Silas. They weren't there. They take custody of Jason. Maybe they may have taken a bond of him, some of his possessions or stuff or money, and pretty much were saying, "Him, listen, any more problems with these guys, and we're taking it out on you. You're not getting your money back, or we're going to keep you. We're going to deal with you since you took him into your house and such." And so they took security of Jason. So he, had to have some kind of deal with them that they weren't going to be any more trouble. Of course, they left Thessalonica right away. So Jason would have been freed following that, from whatever bond he was under, whether it was financial or physical, being held, he would have been freed from that. He mentions Sosipater. And some believe this is the same, a little different spelling, but the same as Sopater of Berea. You'd find him in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. And when the apostle Paul was making his return on his third missionary journey back through the churches, and Acts 20 and verse 4, they're accompanying him into Asia, going back through Troas and things there in that area there. They're accompanying him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, and it goes on and gives the other list, but Sopater of Berea was one who Paul had come around on his third missionary journey, and he came up through Philippi and Berea and all that, and Thessalonica, and then down to Corinth, and then it came back the same way and went through. And so Sopater of Berea was apparently with them, and went back to Asia. Now Paul didn't stop at Ephesus on the third missionary journey. He stopped there on his way out and planted the church, went up into Philippi and Macedonia area, down to Corinth, came back around, but didn't stop back at Ephesus. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. He very likely may have been Paul's host there in Jason was in Thessalonica. Sopater being a Berea, going with him, joining his team. Verse 22, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord." So here is the stenographer of the epistle. Paul is dictating it to him. We see that with Jeremiah and Baruch. Baruch wrote some of Jeremiah's letters as he dictated them. And seems like a lot of the Apostle Paul's letters were written as he dictated them. And 1 Corinthians 16:21, he talks about the mark of his letter being the signature of his own hand. And that wouldn't necessarily be a mark if the whole thing, the whole letter would be a mark of his. But he signed out with his own signature, and he would write certain words, and we'll see that if we get that far tonight. But in 1 Corinthians 16:21, he finishes that letter, "The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand." And so they'd see the writing of whatever stenographer it was, whoever was writing it, and then when Paul was all done, he'd sign it off, and he'd put his greeting there. You find it again in Galatians 6:11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. And so he talks about that. You find it again in Colossians 4:18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. And once again, 2 Thessalonians 3:17, you see it. The same words. Perhaps Tertius interjects his greetings because he too knows and loves many of the believers at Rome. Tertius may have been a native Italian. Now, remember, Paul has never been to Rome, to this church, but many people that he knows have gone there, that he's met in the ministry. So many of these people he's greeting, he's never been to the church at Rome, but he knows many of those folks that are there, that have since gone there while he's on his missionary journeys and such. And perhaps Tertius knows them as well. Verse 23, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Gaius. Now, there's several Gaiuses in the Bible. We have this Gaius here, Paul's host. We have, in another place, Gaius of Derbe. We have a Gaius of Macedonia. We have a Gaius that John writes to in 3 John. Are they all the same? We can't know that they're all the same. But Gaius, mine host, and the whole church saluteth you. So he says, mine host. Well, where is Paul writing the letter to Rome? Where is he writing that from? Well, remember, he's in Corinth writing that. Matter of fact, he's in Corinth on his third missionary journey, and he's writing the letter to Rome. So Gaius is the one who is keeping, who is hosting them in Corinth there. When Paul started the church in Corinth on his second missionary journey, Gaius was one that he baptized. In 1 Corinthians 1:14, Paul writes, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So Gaius had been baptized by the Apostle Paul and was his host here at Corinth. Now the Romans had a system, as far as naming people, a system and culture established whereby many Roman citizens were given three names. The whole three names together was known as the trionomina, if I'm pronouncing that right. It was three names. Now the first name given was the praenomen, P-R-A-E-N-O-M-E-N, was the first name given. And this was the personal name given by the immediate family, given to a person. The second name was the nomen, N-O-M-E-N. This name was represented an extended Roman family or clan, all of whom shared the same nomen and claimed descent from a common ancestor. The third name in the trionomina was the cognomina. This was sort of like a nickname given to a person to further distinguish him or her from others. It was usually given to the person and not chosen by the individual himself. Any number of factors could be the source of the name, could be characteristics or habits or occupations or exploits or place of origin, but they would have these three names. And with this naming practice and the culture in mind, some equate Gaius of Corinth with Justus of Corinth. You find in Acts chapter 18, verse 6, the Bible says, and when they opposed themselves, that would be the Jews, I'm sure, and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Of course, he's ministering there in Corinth on his second journey, I believe, there. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. I just read that, didn't I? And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus. So here we have, he enters into a certain man's house named Justus. Well, we saw earlier in this verse, Gaius is his host in Corinth. So both Gaius and Justus are his host. Now, Justus was a surname also, or shared by others in the Bible. Acts 1:23, when the apostles appointed some disciples to take Judas' place, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthew. So there you have Justus used in another person's name. Sometimes people would have the same, even the nickname part would be the same. Acts 18:7, we have Justus in Corinth again. They departed and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God. The scripture shows that the church met in the house of Gaius in Corinth, and it met in the house of Justus in Corinth. There are some other manuscripts that refer to this Justus as Titus Justus. Titus Justus. So this all being if this all the same person with that trinomina name, then his full name Gaius Titus Justus would be his full name, and it'd be the same person. So interesting. Looking into that. And he is Paul's host, keeping him there in Corinth. Goes on to say there, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. Now Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, what does that mean? Well, he was the treasurer of the city. He worked for the government in Corinth, and he was the treasurer of the city. He would handle the receipts and expenditures of the public money, he received the tolls and customs which belonged to the city, and out of them he paid the public expenses of the city. Such persons as Erastus would be persons of very high credit and very high honor, he is here traveling with the Apostle Paul. Now Erastus, this city treasurer, was likely saved as a result of Paul's second missionary journey when he planted the church there in Corinth. And he spent a year and a half there in Corinth planting and establishing that church. Erastus would have been one of those that was thankful for the M in many. Remember, Paul had written to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1:26. He says, "For you see ye call your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But Erastus, being the chamberlain of the city, being the treasurer, certainly was a noble man, and certainly was one who was honored. And so he was one of the not many, and I'm sure he's thankful for the M in the word many. He didn't say not any, he said not many. And so he was one that got saved, that was a man of reputation when Paul went through there on his second missionary journey. But remember, as Paul's writing this letter, as we mentioned, he is in Corinth on his third missionary journey, writing to Rome. And so earlier on his third missionary journey, if you look at Acts 19:22, he sends Erastus ahead. Acts 19:22. So he, Paul, sent into Macedonia, that's where Philippi is at, two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season, that would be Ephesus. So he sent them on, Erastus and Timothy, on into Macedonia to Philippi ahead of him. So if this Erastus is the same, then he must have left Corinth sometime after that second missionary journey and joined the Apostle Paul on his third missionary journey. But we're not told where or when. But he's nonetheless ministering with the Apostle Paul. Some wonder if he was still the treasurer of the city, that some doubt that he would be able to be the treasurer of the city and be traveling around with the Apostle Paul. Not all do. Some scholars believe that perhaps he still was. Others believe that perhaps he was not anymore, but like we still call, you know, governor and president, people who've had the job, but still, and now are the job's over, but they still retain the title. That meant some scholars believe that's what's happening there. He's not the treasurer now. He's not the chamberlain now, but that's what he was, and because it's an honored position. And so some believe that may be the case. Either way, he's an honored man serving the Apostle Paul, and Paul says he sends these greetings to. He's ministering with Paul on his third missionary journey now. Paul mentions Erastus again when he's in prison on his second imprisonment. You find that in 2 Timothy 4:20. By the way, this would be his second imprisonment in Rome, and his last imprisonment. He would be executed there, and he was writing to Timothy. We saw a bit of that last week, and Paul writing to Timothy says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. So he says, Erastus abode in Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, some have said that Paul was referring to his third journey there when he left Erasmus at Corinth. That's what some have said. But it doesn't fit because it seems he's talking about the same journey here. He says, Erasmus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, Trophimus is with Paul on his third missionary journey. He was among that list that went back into Asia, going back around on the third missionary journey, headed back toward home. Trophimus was with Paul, but there's a problem. Look at Acts 20 and verse 15. Someone want to read that? Acts 20, 15 through 17. Brother Charles?
15 through what?
17. Okay, so he stops at Miletus. Now, from there he goes what? We remember he sails to Caesarea, where Philip's at and such, and then goes up to Jerusalem and ends up getting imprisoned, remember, in Jerusalem after his third journey. Well, while he's in Jerusalem, they're making false accusations at him, saying that he brought Gentiles into the temple. And Acts 21:29 says, "For they had seen before him before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian." So he did not leave Trophimus behind on the third missionary journey. So that could not have been the third missionary journey. He took Trophimus with him to Jerusalem. So what does that mean? Well, some have said that pointed to the second missionary journey, saying, well, that's what it's talking about. I'll tell you, on Paul's second missionary journey, he went around Corinth, and he came back into Asia, and he went up to Ephesus real quick and preached in the synagogue, and then left there. And he left Aquila and Priscilla there, and then left there and went back to Jerusalem. Well, when he came up to Ephesus on that second journey, and didn't start the church then. He plants the church on the third journey. He goes back and he goes by Miletum. So I guess it would be possible that he had Trophimus with him there, and then, you know, goes by and then drops him off at Miletum. But it doesn't make sense, and Trophimus is not mentioned until on the third journey. And also, why would Paul mention that? He's writing to Timothy from prison. Why would he would be giving Timothy old news? Timothy knew all about all about the second journey, and why would he be, if he saw Trophimus on the if he left him on the second journey, why would he tell Timothy about that when he was also with him on the third journey? He's not giving Timothy the latest news on Trophimus, because Trophimus obviously went with Paul when he was imprisoned at Jerusalem. So he wouldn't be giving Timothy the latest news. So when did this happen? This was likely one of those travels that the Apostle Paul did in between the imprisonments, because these facts in this verse here don't line up with any of the accounts in the book of Acts. And so this was likely more proof that he made some journeys in between his two imprisonments, which Luke did not record. So that sometime there he went by Corinth and left Erastus there, and at that time went to Miletus and left Trophimus there sick. Some believe it was in there or Troas where he was apprehended, which is why he talks about leaving Trophimus there sick and taken in, but on his second imprisonment. I hope that's as clear as mud now. But you search it out and you see the details there. But praise the Lord for these faithful servants. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is the salutation that Paul would write. Every one of his letters, look it up, every one of them, he'll say, even to the individuals, to all the churches, he'll in some way say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And in every one of his letters, he has that, and he puts that in there with his own hand. Amen. Find it all through there. All right. So I think I'm just going to stop there tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And God, I thank you for these who are willing to travel with you. And we think about people who risk their own lives, like Jason and Aquila and Priscilla, and so many. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for this record, that we can be encouraged how you loved and took care of these people, and how you got your work done through your people by the power of your Spirit in their hearts, by the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things building up in them, growing in them to help them to do whatever you'd call them to do. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. And Father, I pray that we would yield more and more to your Spirit and see these same fruits come forth in our lives. Not only just come forth, but also to abound. And abound more and more, as the Apostle Paul wrote about these things. And that we'd be able to minister to those around us, that you would work through us, that we would be like the passage where you said the Spirit would be as a river of life streaming up and flowing out from us and bringing life to wherever it would go. And Father, you Lord, you spake of the Spirit when you spoke of that fountain springing up unto everlasting life. And Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you for these dear people. And Lord, should you tarry, we know that one day you will not. One day you'll tarry no longer, and we look forward to that day. But Lord, should you tarry, help us be witnesses for you. Increase your love in our hearts. Help us to draw closer to you, to have that hunger, that ever hunger that really is never satisfied here, but it ought to always be there, that hunger for righteousness, that hunger to be closer to you. And I do thank you for that, and we look forward to that. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.